to Uggie's IMDb page, his next film following his breakout in 2005's What's Up, Scarlet would be 2005's What's Up, Rockers, showing his penchant for films that ask questions but provoke little answers. However, according to Uggie's biography, his next film is actually 2005's Disney Channel original, Life is Rough, with him garnering a significantly larger role as Jean-Jacques, the skateboarding ankle biter who's a bit of a pageant king. Directed by Charles Haide and written by Eddie Gazalian, Life is Rough clearly comes at a time before social media and smartphones, when, as depicted in the film, straight white boys had one of two haircuts, flippy or spiky, and images of puppies left in boxes outside of a convenience store didn't get shared by your aunt on Facebook, after, of course, she shared a post spreading disinformation about Trump's election being rigged. Yes, in 2005, people yawned at Uggie, as when we are introduced to Jean-Jacques at a high school assembly, no one seems to care. A skateboarding pup is nothing to write home about, which back then was exactly how we communicated, via flowery letters to mom and dad about how dogs we were unimpressed by at assemblies. Were we more cynical in 2005? What was it about social media that made animals become untouchable in the next 5 to 6 years? And why the fuck aren't any dogs from this film listed on IMDb? All this and more in episode 3 of the Consider Uggie podcast, where my awards daily colleague Joey Moser and I, Megan McLaughlin, track the filmography of Uggie the dog, asking, will we ever see another one like him? Hello, Joey. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Reeling from this film that we both watched.
I keep thinking about how, like, you know, we were going to have some mad street cred when this is all over. The fact that we watched, like, we can say we are going to have seen every one of Uggie's films. Like, I think that's pretty amazing. I don't know about you, but.
Yes, it will be a thing.
Yes. So let me just say at the top, you know, I said that this is not listed on his IMDb page and no dogs from the film. Jed is the lead dog. He is, or AKA Tycho, is also not listed in the cast for this on IMDb. I think it's ridiculous that this is not listed for Uggie, because I think he is a revelation in this film. Compare it to, like, you know, seeing, like, Rachel McAdams or Amanda Seyfried in Mean Girls, you know, or, like, I think I told you Jessica Alba in Never Been Kissed. Like, yeah. You know, somebody that you remember, but, when you go back to watch the film, you're like, oh, my God, that's, you know, Jessica Alba, or, oh, my God, that's Uggie, you know, like.
You know who he is to me in this? Because he gets
Uggie?
To do so much. No, you know who Uggie is in this movie if we compare it to a human counterpart?
Yeah, okay, I'm dying to hear this.
I'm a little ashamed that I can put this together. I think he is Derek from Full House.
Oh, my God. You mean, like, Derek?
Like MacGyver Ewing. Yeah.
The singing kid who...
He was the kid who always had, like, a little Danny. Too... Yeah, I remember when I was little, and I was like, oh, my God, this kid just let Michelle sing.
I was surprised. Wait, you weren't attracted to him as, a fellow? I mean, no? You weren't like, oh, I feel seen.
No, he was actually, I was more, like, embarrassed for him. And I shouldn't have been, because he's, like, a really talented kid. I think when I was younger, I was, like, when people did, like, big, like, performance talented things, I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing this. Oh my God, I can't believe you're doing this. But yeah, Uggie gets to do a lot of tricks and a lot of performance pageantry, if you will, in this. I was actually, because I remember you told me a couple days later, you're like, he gets to do so much in this. And I thought this was going to be like one of those things where, like, you people who don't know us, like, we have this sort of, like, way of talking to each other that we sort of know that each other is kidding, but I'm not sure if Megan is ever kidding when we're talking about any of the Uggie's movies. And so she is like, he does so much. He's in it a lot. I'm like, all right, Megan, we'll see. And then I was like, oh, wow, shit, she was not lying. He's in this so much. And does a lot of stuff.
Were you not entertained? Were you not entertained by his tricks?
I wish it was about Jean-Jacques.
I know, me too. Okay, so wait, let's get into it from, like, very first scene. You know, it starts with a box of puppies, which I think the analogy of like, if you have a free box of puppies, nobody wants it because it's free. But if you have a box of puppies and say like $10 a puppy, people want it. You know, people want a puppy. Like I was thinking of that at first, but I found it very, you know, this sets up a universe where somebody, we never learn who, places a box of puppies in front of this like mangy convenience store, and everybody like is just taking puppies, okay? And
like then one by one.
And then like the thing that doesn't make any sense is that obviously who we learn becomes Tycho is left behind, and a little boy says to him like tough shit basically, like you're gonna have to fend on your own,
like good luck.
And then this is clearly a 15-year-old movie, because that like today's woke social justice warrior like would never stand for that. Like you're gonna leave a puppy in a box out in the like rain
by
like
himself.
Fuck you.
Like didn't they show them like locking up the store?
Yes, and I was the owner locked up the store. I'm like,
I was like, let's pull the box back, motherfucker.
Right. Like, I know. I was like, what are you doing? And then the fact the kid was just like, tough. Yeah, you don't have a family. Like better luck next time. It's like you can't take another dog. Like, come on.
Yeah.
But I thought, okay, this immediately sets up a universe where, like, this would never happen nowadays, I don't think. Like, do you? I mean, I just don't think that people would just leave a puppy in a box in front of a convenience store and people not notice it.
If this would happen in like the last 5 years, they'd be like, hey, who left a box here? Hey, let's put it on Twitter. Hey, person of this mangy grocery store, pull up your security footage. Let's track him down. Oh, there's a license plate on that car. Let's find him. Ah, and they burn his house down, and that's how Twitter works.
Exactly. And then, by the end of the week, the dog would have been canceled for something it did. Like,
of course.
I don't know.
Oh my God, he humped someone. Over-sexualized dog. Canceled.
Yes. Like, that's how it would work. Exactly. But like, so I liked how it was like 1 year later, which I was like, okay, so like. So Tycho is like on his own for a year. I really think there was a missed opportunity there to not see like a montage of like, what was Tycho up to? Like, I bet he got some other puppies pregnant personally. Like, you know, he had to. I just thought it immediately set up like this universe where, okay, this is a different time period where dogs are, you know, it kind of took me back to being like, I was in college at the time, and like all the guys in it like have the same haircut as I mentioned at the top. Like, you know, I was just like, oh, that's right. That's how they dress. They layered t-shirts over shirts and shit. So that's kind of where it starts. But I also, this movie got me thinking about, you know, why did it change? Like, why is this now would never happen? And I started building a timeline, as I told you, of social media.
She has like a homeland thing with red yarn and push pins.
Yes. Like, so
going around. Yep.
We have Facebook born 2004. Okay. Twitter 2006. Okay. So this is where, you know, before this, I feel like people are posting, you know, if you wanted to share something about your animal, you probably would say like, oh, here's a picture I have that I got to wait to get developed, you know, or something like that. But like, you know, this is where things become more immediate. Like Instagram's 2010. So here's where like, I started thinking about like, well, why Uggie? So Jif Palm was a popular Instagram dog, or like social media dog, who was born in 2006. Then there was Buddy the Pomeranian, who was born in 2003.
Oh.
Okay. And Buddy's buddy, Boo the Pomeranian, you know, Boo, like the cutest dog in the world, was born in 2007, died of a broken heart in 2019 because Buddy died. But that's a different story. But then, so also
other podcasts, spin-off podcasts.
Other different podcasts. Frasier goes off the air in 2004. Okay. So that is, there is a gap here. You know, we need a cute Jack Russell. Also, Moose, the original Eddie, dies in 2006. So that's kind of like what I'm thinking is like,
that's we've got the timeline. You cracked the code.
Right. I feel like I cracked the code. Like, this is a time when people, you know, people love their pets. And then social media is kind of making it a place where, you know, let's all share our love of our pets. And then all of these other dogs start to gain popularity. And then there is this gap missing for the lovable dog. And here comes Uggy. I think I cracked the code.
I think you cracked the code. Yeah, I legitimately think you cracked the code of why Uggy's famous. We're on episode two.
We did it.
We're still going to do this.
So getting back to this film. So, you know, we first meet Uggy and, well, Uggy's character, Jean-Jacques, at an assembly. He comes out, like, on a skateboard doing shit. And I'm just like, yes, this is what I want.
By this point, Jean-Jacques is a two-time champion dog. So he's got these are like his side gigs, like going to do assemblies to rile up the crowd.
None of them are excited. I was shocked by that. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like,
that was like one of the most unbelievable things in the movie.
Yeah.
Especially if this is pre-social media.
Right. I keep thinking, like, I just don't understand. They were just like, oh, whatever. And that I found that was unbelievable. But there's also, I feel like the whole plot of this film is kind of unbelievable. So the plot of the film is that Calvin is this character who wants to buy a comic book for $5,000, which I was laughing because, so this is the first comic book, and I know nothing about comic books, but like, if you haven't read the first one, then how do you understand the rest of them? Isn't it kind of like jumping into like Star Wars with Empire Strikes Back and being like, what does it matter that he's your father? Like, who cares? Am I wrong? Like, is that how it works?
I've never been a comic book person. We would probably have to consult someone. I feel like now you don't have to do that. I don't think you need to start with like Superman number one. I feel like you can pick up whatever offshoot, but this is 2005. So, I mean, it's probably different then. Maybe this isn't an alternate universe where, what's his name? Gotham Man?
Yes, which I thought was a little
horrible name.
I am surprised.
You have the M from Gotham next to the M in Man. Like, it's too, like Gotham Man.
Right. That's a terrible name.
It's something like
Gotham Man. It should be one word.
Just to be one word, yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
But also, I don't think, is this like a new, I feel like when you see his collection, you know, he has all these, like, yeah, these ones that he has like in plastic on his wall. Are there only like 12 issues of Gotham Man? I feel like it should be that hard to get all of them.
Right. I just was kind of like, it's like, how do you know what happens in the first one? I don't know. I just like, how many are there? Like, he and his friends Fig seem to know a lot about it, but also like, but they have a club where they're trying to get that girl, like they're testing her. Like, I don't understand why she wanted to be tested, but it reminded me of like very much, you know, they would have like social media would have been like, oh my God, he's like mansplaining to her. Like, he's being sexist, because it reminds me of like when I wear like a baseball cap of like a team. Uh-huh. And like, anytime I do that, a guy always asks me like, did you watch the game last night? Are you even a fan? Like, and I felt like that for that poor girl. I'm like,
actually, funny enough, sometimes for some reason, whenever I see people in other cities wearing like Pittsburgh gear, even though I only really watch any Pittsburgh sports when it actually counts, like the Super Bowl, I watch Super Bowl, the Steelers are playing, but I sort of do the reverse. I'm just like, hey, Steelers fan, huh? And they're like, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. Did you see that? This, that, and the other. I was like, I just asked one question. I did not say it was okay to follow up with anything else.
So you're not quizzing them. I'm glad, because it's
I am not mansplaining.
Good. But anyway, so getting back to, so Calvin is trying to get $5,000 to get buy this first comic. And in order to do that, he is going to adopt a dog and train it to be in this pageant and go against Uggy.
Which, by the way, something that they keep saying throughout the movie that I wrote it down, someone actually says, Top Dog season is almost over. I was like, is this? And they say it multiple times throughout, because I wrote it down more than once.
Is it a real thing?
No, I don't think so. It just exists in the world of this Disney original movie, but it was sort of just like, it was like, oh, it's a season now, like sort of like wedding season or award season, top dog season in this fucking Twilight Zone town.
Do you think they were hoping for a sequel?
Well, actually, something that I want to point out, speaking of sequels, this movie came out in 2005. Another movie that came out in 2006, which is a Disney original movie that you probably know, is High School Musical. The basketball team in High School Musical was the Wildcats. Guess what team, what their name is in this at the very beginning? The Wildcats. So, hey, Disney, you want to, like, stop recycling shit? It was like, oh, we're just going to call it the Wildcats until it works. And 1 year later, boom, it happened.
Or do you think Life is Rough, like, do you think the High School Musical is a spinoff of Life is Rough? Kind of like, you know, like Family Matters was a spinoff of Perfect Strangers.
Maybe it exists like in a different universe because they are both the Wildcats, but the uniforms are completely different colors. I'm really sad that I know that off the top of my head. One is red and one is blue. We should move on to save a little any sort of realm of credibility that I have.
Okay, let's move on. So the problematic plot is that Calvin adopts this dog. And first of all, I want to say that I have tried to adopt about 5 dogs now and have not gotten any dogs. This kid, this motherfucker comes in and
tricks his mom,
pretty much just takes the dog, like, and like hides it for a while. And I like the part where like he wakes up and his mom's like, oh man, you need to shower. And I'm like, ew, is this dog just shitting all through your room? Like, do you smell like wet dog? Like, Calvin, like, come on. But yeah, I thought that was funny that like they just give him this dog and like nobody even cares. Like, I feel like it's so hard to get a dog. Like, I have a theory. I have a theory that it's easier to get a gun than to get a dog, like to adopt a dog.
That's probably. Yeah. But also, actually, we should note that he adopts a dog from a shelter that is going under, I guess. I don't know if shelters
are. I guess we kind of just like, do we kind of learn that at the end? Like I feel like that was
the one girl is just like, we need to save the shelter. And not only does he just adopt a dog sort of just on a whim, but he also adopts a dog from a volunteer who happens to be his age.
Right. There seem to be no adults working there.
I was like, who gave this girl this much authority? What the effing F?
Which actually brings me to another concern in this film is that does anyone care that Fig is a 13-year-old boy that lives alone in an apartment? Like, because
he never says parents, does he? He just says,
no, he says my apartment won't let me have a dog that below 7 or above 7 pounds, which I'm like, good fucking luck, dude. Like,
incredibly specific. That's a lot, Fig.
Yeah. And so I was like, nobody cares that this guy is this like 13-year-old is living on his own. That bugged me. I was like, poor Fig. Like, he's just kind of roaming around.
It's like a Robin Williams Jack situation, but in like reverse or something. I don't know.
I also thought, is it kind of like that movie with that girl who's, was it Orphan, who was the adult? Like, is he an adult pretending to, is I making a sequel for real?
Yeah, the original girl's coming back.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
I've never seen 2007's Orphan.
Yes. Like, so yeah, I wondered if he was like an adult posing as a 13-year-old boy to hang with Calvin, which is creepy.
I would watch the shit out of that movie.
I would too.
It would be the biggest train wreck.
Yeah. Also, okay, here's my other question. What's a Tycho?
What's a what?
What's a Tycho?
Wasn't Tycho a, Tycho was a toy company.
Why did you name him that?
I don't know. What a good question.
I don't know what it is, and it bothered me the whole time. And I was like, is this supposed to, are we supposed to know something? But
there was, there were Tycho, because actually I thought that, they the whole time they said his name, Tycho, I kept thinking it was like Tycho Toys. That's what I kept thinking. Like, I think Tycho was responsible for the Tickle Me Elmo.
But that still doesn't clear up anything.
It does not make a question. Maybe they're like, Tycho, toys, kids, like, maybe they're trying to do like a, maybe there was some like Life is Rough toy branding. Tycho, according to the internet, was acquired in 1997. So maybe they were trying to revive Tycho. Maybe we're diving way too deep into this, but that's where I'm going to go with it.
Okay. I should have looked up, like, what is, like, maybe it's a Greek mythology. Like, don't they call him Tycho the Terror or something? Like, they call him something like that.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. But so the problematic plot of this film is that, so Preston, Jean-Jacques' owner, you know, is, you know, he loves his pet and he very much values that he, you know, he wins these competitions with Jean-Jacques. And Calvin's going to enter and kind of fuck everything up with this dog. And they, and I kept, I know, like, you sent me a message at one point. You're like, oh, is this like My Fair Lady? Is this like Pygmalion? Yeah. And I'm like, no, it's not, because the damn dog does not change. Like, he doesn't do anything. And that's exactly what happens. Like, the, like, even at one point I was excited whenever, like, the wrench that gets thrown into the film is that, like, oh, Tycho actually has a family that's been looking for him. And you're like, oh my God, like, now there's, like, something really at stake. And then you just find out that it's, like, Preston pulling a prank, like, or, like, not a prank, but, like, trying to get him to drop out, which really doesn't make any sense.
No, I think the whole thing with, like, Preston, first of all, Preston, why are you so threatened? He's, like, he sees another dog within, like, a 2-mile radius, and he's like, oh, he's trying to take my, he's trying to take Jean-Jacques down in this competition. A small town that has a top dog season and its own blue, what is the famous dog competition? The, I keep thinking of the one from Best in Show.
Purina? The I forget. What is it?
Purina?
Purina? The Thanksgiving,
like,
Day?
Isn't it like the Mayflower? No, the Mayflower is the one in Best in Show. Westminster.
This is all Best in Show. Okay, Westminster, yeah.
But, like,
it's really not a pageant, though. It's really, like,
they have just, to run a relay
they
race.
They just have to run a race. But then the point that where it gets ridiculous is that, like, first of all, Uggy fucking kills it. Like, kills it each time he runs that race. Like, it's breathtaking to watch him run it. And then Calvin comes in. You're like, oh, maybe they'll pull off something. Like, no, Tycho literally, like, runs everything over. And on
because
his first
like
try.
A giant dog.
And him and he and Jean-Jacques are like are racing each other in the first time that they go against each other. But somehow Tycho wins because he crossed the finish line even though he didn't do anything in the course. Like, I just don't know what boundaries they're setting here. Like, what standards.
Like is it a race? Why is it just like they have to get from one point to the other point? Fuck everything that happens in the middle, I guess. But then like they don't even penalize the dog for that much because like, well, we're gonna the way they say it, we're gonna have to add time onto your tire. And it's like 15 seconds. I was like, that's it. as somebody who really likes to watch the Olympics and stuff like that, I was a little perturbed, but. And then I want to say later on, I actually wrote when they – so there's that one time, not to jump to the final part, but there's a part where they have to perform
yes.
a routine. And all that Uggy has to do – I'm going to say this. This might be a controversial statement. None of these things that the dogs do are actual talents. I actually wrote down that's the talent question mark where – Preston is just swinging Uggy around by his mouth with a frisbee. And I was like, what?
That was totally cutting edge Pamchenko, I thought. I was like, we're totally getting into like, and then I was like, oh my God, are they going to end it like the cutting edge where you don't know what happens? You don't know if Tycho wins
just
or
gonna
not?
They're just going to throw Jean-Jacques up into the air.
Yeah, and Jean-Jacques's like, I love you, Tycho.
Yeah, and he's just like,
I'm like,
he's like, you didn't have to do
ending.
It.
Ending.
Like,
please
but
be
I
that
want
ending.
To. Yeah. But, yeah. Like, oh, man. First of all, with the Pamchenko, you need, like, a plan. That's the only flaw that I have with that movie. I was like, oh, you're just gonna do it? All right, fine.
Well, they had practiced it enough. They were just believed in themselves. And maybe that's kind of what Tycho did in this. But he didn't practice at all. And actually, this is the most insulting part. Is that, like... Basically, Calvin runs the competition and like competes as the dog, I would say.
Well, yeah, that's the part where like he's just like when they're going through the course and they're doing all the stupid like dog puns, and they were just like, "Well, we're getting to the golden retriever half pipe," and I was like, "You mean to tell me that all the other stupid dogs in the stupid competition needed a half pipe, and that just so happens to be something that Calvin excels at?" Thanks, Disney. That's such a Disney 1990s, you know, early 2000 thing to do.
It is. It's kind of just like, it's very much, you know, our generation is accused of the, you know, fourth place ribbon runner up. Yeah. Like, this is very much that. Like, and I hope this is the end of that part of the generation, because like, he literally does nothing. Like, the dog runs on the side. Well, okay. I mean, Tycho does nothing. The dog runs on the side and Calvin does all the work and does all on his skateboard, which Uggy could do on a skateboard. Like, that's the point. And then, so Preston does try to sabotage the whole thing, which I was like, that's out of character. He would never try to, like, kill Calvin, which essentially he does try to kill Calvin. But I just don't think I don't think Preston would do that. But, like, it was a very upsetting ending, the fact that this dog is not talented and he still wins just because his owner can skateboard.
Let's talk about Preston for a second. So okay. It sounds like to me, are you pro Preston or are you just pro Uggy?
Okay, I'm pro Uggy. We need to get shirts made of that. Like, totally pro Uggy. Like, this is like, I am anxious to see the other films, because I'm not sure anybody can touch Uggy in this. Like, he's very good.
He does all of his own stunts.
He's just, like, magnetic. You're just like, I want to see what that dog is doing. Like, I want to go hang with him. Even when he bites Calvin's ankle, it's like, what an appearance. He's just like, hey, I'm here. You know, like.
I'm sending you a picture of Uggy after he was done performing, because it is super. I was taking screenshots of this entire movie to the point where I had to delete them. I was like, I have like 6 pictures of Life is Rough screenshots on my computer. So let me just. It's a super cute picture. The only other one that I'll send you is. I'll send you one that I think is sort of just a funny, funny thing. Maybe we can put this up in the post.
Yes, I love this. Wait, you were going to say something, though, about... We were talking about...
Oh, the thing about that Preston. I think is kind of funny about is... the whole time I watched it, and this may sound like a stupid, like, 2021, you know, thing to do. Like, thing, you know, we look at things through a 2020 lens, stuff like that. I just sent you the Uggy picture. And I was just thinking the whole time... That's all I can think about. Any time that Preston came on and referred to the dog, he was like, "Your dog is what? Get that mangy mutt out of here!" Now, granted, I know that's like standard villain Scooby-Doo talk. However, the whole time I was watching it, like, Preston is like always so impeccably dressed. There are even like old white ladies that make the comment all the time. He's like, "What a put together, decent young man." Stuff like that. So the whole time I was watching it, because it should be for people who have not seen Life is Rough or are here and they can't believe that we're still talking about this movie. Calvin is black and his family is black, and Preston is white. So the whole time I was watching it, I was like, "You privileged white bitch." The whole time I was watching it.
Oh, he's definitely privileged, but in the same time, Calvin is definitely privileged, because he just comes in there and wins a fucking tournament by not even training his dog. Like,
I think his parents kind of suck, because his parents totally suck. Where he was just like, "Oh, hey, you forged my name on a slip to get a dog. It's fine. You're just grounded with no phone for 2 months. That ain't gonna stick."
One of my favorite moments in the whole film is whenever he comes home and his parents are waiting for him, and they're both sitting in chairs that are just facing the door. Like, the chairs don't face anything. Like, those chairs are literally just there to, like, interrogate him when he comes home. Yes. Like, the way they're faced, like, it's hysterical.
The other point that I thought, that's the point where I was like, "Oh, brother," is when they come home and he puts Tycho under a blanket, and it's a dog. Yes. So the dog is just the dog is clearly moving, and Calvin isn't sitting in front of it or blocking it in any way, and they're just like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. And I was like, that's clearly an animal. You guys are so stupid.
They're so, I mean, and they also are like, oh, we can hear you snoring. And like, I mean, the dog barks multiple times in that house.
And
like,
that's a big ass dog.
Yeah. It's part, so played by Jed, is part Labrador, part St. Bernard. So it's got a bit of Beethoven in him, which explains a lot because he's all over the place. Like I'm going to be honest, Tycho is a mess. Like, I can see why he couldn't find
an
owner.
He's had a rough childhood.
I mean, he did. I also like the little moments, though, where he's, like, afraid of the rain. And whenever they drop him off at the who they think is his owner, it's raining. And I'm like, I wrote down in my notes, nice touch with the rain. Like, he was left in the rain the first time.
What was the – there might be the same part where he's having – I wrote down – oh, God, where is it? Puppy PTSD.
Yes. He's having puppy PTSD.
Where I was just like, oh. I was like, we're getting a touching – like, I sort of wanted – I kind of wish the whole time that this movie was on, I wish the dogs talked. Like, I don't need some crappy, you know, CGI. I need some, like, Don Ameche, Michael J. Fox, Sally Field, Homeward Bound, at least a little bit. Give me maybe, like, some Homeward Bound Look Who's Talking action with these.
I mean, I guess I could – you're right, because the dogs really don't have – I mean, Uggy has personality, but like, Tycho really doesn't, other than just being a mess. Like, what would you say is his – like, how would you describe him as a dog?
Tycho?
Like, yeah, like, is he lovable? I mean, I guess he kind of loves Calvin.
Yeah, I mean, I've sort of, I mean, I feel like dogs are instantly at, like, a on a scale of 1 to 10 of lovability. I feel like dogs, just because they're dogs, are automatically on at least on a 5 or a 4 or a 5. But, like, I thought Uggy had, despite just being a show dog, had a lot more personality. I don't know what Tycho's struggle is. I don't know anything about that dog.
Right, other than being afraid of the rain. But, like, why, I mean, we don't really learn about, like, how does he feel about being left behind as a pup in front of that convenience store? What, like, again, what did he do during that year to survive?
Why did, like, we even need that at the beginning? Why
I don't
did we
know,
even,
right.
It could have just started with, like, him finding a stray dog.
You're right. It didn't even need to be like, you're right. You're absolutely right. Unless
this
we're
is,
supposed to establish.
This is us,
like,
trying to talk about the subtext and script structure of 2005's Disney original film, Life is Rough. In case you were just joining us.
Well, we can wrap this up soon because I don't know how much more there is to talk about, but I will say that I think had this film been made today, I think that somehow Calvin and Preston would have joined together to do something.
Oh, that would have been cute.
Yeah, I think that would have been cute. Because I don't think Preston's a bad guy. I think Preston loves dogs. Like, what would you say really is him makes him a villain other than he just wants to win? Like, but he loves that dog. Like, he would do anything for that dog.
The only part that makes him look like an actual villain is when that whole Chester dog thing happens and you find out Preston set up, like,
yes,
these two people that he knows, which, by the way, those two people would totally be Trump supporters.
Yes.
If they do, like, not like a flashback, but they show him, like, putting up fake flyers, and he may as well be tying someone to the train tracks because it's so, like, I took a picture of that, too, so let me send you that one.
Yes.
It looks like he sort of looks at the camera. He was just like, he staples the fake reward poster on the tree and then, like, turns around and is like, ha-ha! And I'm just like, guys.
I also like the fact that the Emily Watson character, like, is, like, anti-pageant, anti, like, she's all for the dogs.
Do dog shows exploit dogs? Is that true?
I don't actually know if that's true. Because I don't know. I mean, his life's got to be better than it was in a cage.
Hold on, I'm going to look at this movie again.
I also want to say, though, the actress Kay Panabaker, she became a zoologist, and I love that little tidbit. Yeah.
wait, her name is Emily Watson?
Remember you said you were like Emma Watson? That's one of the reasons why you wanted to see this.
Oh, that's right. I already forgot the thing that I actually wanted to do. Oh, that's nice that she became a...
Yeah, I thought that's a nice little tie-in.
That's my favorite part about the movie.
Oh, come on. Uggy was great. I thought Uggy was
so good. I actually see this would have been a good part if they were talking. If Uggy would have been like, hey, we're actually friends. Nothing sinister is happening here at all. Let's just have a good show.
Okay, I kind of do like that idea. And they should work together.
Yeah. They'll be like, what we can do is we'll start the course as one and we'll finish it together. Yeah. And they jump in the air and freeze frame.
Yes. Okay, we gotta green light this, and we gotta get CGI dogs to do this because there aren't any.
I mean, I'll just draw some whiskers on, and I'll do it myself. So
that sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you have anything else to say about Life is Rough? I think this was an easier watch than What's Up, Scarlet.
What's Up, Scarlet sucked. So yes.
Yeah. I enjoyed this much more.
Yeah, I do too. It's a cute movie. Granted, if you are in your 30s like we are, you will have a lot of questions. But I can see kids, sitting down and just watching this movie. It's like a fun Saturday morning thing, and it has a lot of dogs in it. It's a good sort of antidote to What's Up, Scarlet, and just in the fact that What's Up, Scarlet didn't have very many dogs, and this one was chock full of dogs.
Even though we didn't really see many of the dogs competing, which I other than it was just Tycho and Jean-Jacques, that was it.
Actually, there was a certain point where I thought, are they the only ones in the competition? Are they holding this whole thing just for them?
Right. Because then they were like, oh, and that's it. I'm like, wait a minute. There were other dogs here. What happened? Why aren't we seeing this?
There's actually a point where, hold on, I was trying to think of the way they sort of play it down, I was like, they're really this is the Rocky Balboa and Apollo Creed of showdowns of dogs. The way it felt like the whole town was into it. I was like, all right. I'm trying to look through my
kind of in a Gilmore Girls kind of way.
Let me just read through my notes. These are just the random thoughts on two separate post-its. Preston is a dick. Wildcats High School Musical. Top Dog season is almost over. Puppy PSD. Exploitation of dogs? Why so much media coverage?
There is a lot of media coverage, you're right.
Yeah. And then the other thing, the only other funny thing that I wrote in very large letters at the top of my second post, it just says Chester? !
Would you like me to read an excerpt from his book about Life is Rough? Okay.
Start reading it and catch up to it.
In Life is Rough, my character was an award-winning purebred pet of an aristocratic teenager. I would not call him aristocratic.
Aristocrat?
Yeah, that's a bit much.
Generous.
I was named Jean-Jacques Saint-Germain de Dupré, of all things. As the reigning champion of several dog shows, I had to show off my skills, catching frisbees and jumping through hoops. I also had to attack a skateboarding kid and bite him on the ankle. I was smeared in wet mud as my human was dragged through a flower bed. That was a great scene. I did enjoy that. In two separate scenes, I was pitched one-to-one against a scruffy stray named Tycho in a dog agility course, in which Omar and Gordo also had cameo roles. Those are his siblings. I had so much fun in those sequences. Not only did I get to show how fleet of foot I was as I weaved around obstacles and jumped over fences, flying through the air like a bird, but I also swimming across the pool was pretty cool, rolled over repeatedly and took a bow. All that and payment too? Heck, I loved show business. I loved when he was swimming. I was like, get it! Get it, Uggy!
I have to say, on this Disney fandom Wikipedia page of Life is Rough, there is, if you go onto the Jean-Jacques Saint-Germain de Dupré, a.k.a. Jacques, page, there's a lengthy description of his role in the film, seven paragraphs long. And then there's only one comment. May I read this one comment?
Yes, please.
From Nick Sessor from 2015. I thought he died when the course When the course collapsed, I thought he and his owner was crushed flat because we never saw them leave when they sabotaged it. That's it. So Nick Sesser is more worried about continuity.
So wait, he thinks that Uggy dies or Tycho?
I'm not actually sure. But it's on the Jean-Jacques page.
When the course collapsed, I thought he and his owner was crushed flat because we never saw them leave when they sabotaged it. Oh my God. That just changes everything.
Whole dynamic, totally different.
So maybe they died.
Also, by the way, not to keep bringing up stuff that is really stupid, but the kennel or the animal community that they have to save, they yes. only need $3,000. Like, some bitch couldn't bake some cinnamon rolls and, like, sell them and, like, just save up over a cup. Like, he could have gotten that comic book. He really could have. He was like, oh, that's all that needed to save the animal shelter? $3,000? Come on, you're just being lazy.
I didn't even think of that. That's so
I actually wrote that down, too. $3,000? No bake sale?
That's amazing. No bake sale? Oh, my gosh. Well, okay, do you have anything to add? Anything about Jean-Jacques? Anything? Yeah,
very impressed with Uggy. Very,
Yes.
Two paws up for Uggy, two paws down for the movie.
I think it's ridiculous that it's not on IMDb. And I the only thing
Why
I
isn't
think
it
of,
on there?
Yeah, the only thing I could think of is they were just like, oh, this is not about the dogs. It's about Calvin's story and whatever. Calvin's story is affected by dogs. Like, they should be on IMDb. I think.
I mean, he's credited with everything else. He should just have it.
Right. Yeah. So the next one that we're watching is Was Up Rockers, directed by Larry Clark, written by Larry Clark and Matthew Frost. And it's, instead of adhering to the norms of their South Central neighborhood, a group of skater boys opt to bus into Hollywood and Beverly Hills, where they attract local rich girls and plenty of trouble with the police, jealous boyfriends, and nervous parents. And Uggy plays biting dog in this. So it is.
Is that French?
It is rated R.
Oh.
Uggy is starting to get, it's getting dark. It's rated R.
For pervasive language. It is available. It's rated R for pervasive language, some violence, sexual content, and teen drinking.
Oh my goodness. And it's available on like Tubi, I think. Hold on. That had this where you can watch it. Pluto TV, it's free. Tubi, Vudu. Amazon Prime, it's free. So yeah, that's where you can watch it.
And don't even sound like real things. Tubi, voodoo.
Right, Tubi. It makes me think of Miss Congeniality. Another Tubi, remember?
Tubi. Yeah.
Only you would get Tubi. That. Yeah, it's a dollar that we always.
I say that to myself every time I'm in the grocery store.
a dollar. Okay, so thank you for joining us. We hope you come back and continue this journey, the filmography of Uggy. We will see you next time.